I love that piece. It is entitled, The Peace May Be Exchanged. And it is inspiring to see all of you passing the peace and greeting one another in holy love this morning. Welcome to this time of worship together. It is my joy to welcome you if you are gathering in this space or if you're worshiping with us online from wherever you are. We know that the Spirit of Christ is among us and unites us together in this time of worship. It is World Communion Sunday, and so we are connected and united with Christians all over the world who are gathering at the table today and celebrating the unconditional love of God in every place and every time. So I'm glad that you're here to celebrate. I have several announcements this morning, so bear with me. At 9:45, right after this service, up in the fourth story theater, we will have our annual town hall meeting, an opportunity for some of the leaders of the church to share with you some of the exciting things that have happened this year and some of our hopes for next year. So we hope you'll join us. At 3 o'clock this afternoon, we'll have a service of the blessing of the animals in honor of St. Francis of Assisi. We will gather on the West Lawn just here. So bring your pets, dogs, cats, snakes, hedgehogs, whatever. And I did bless a little hedgehog one time. And the service will probably be about 30 minutes. It's not too long, but it's a wonderful thing to celebrate God's good creation. Then at 4 o'clock, there will be an organ concert here in the sanctuary featuring our own Andrew Reisinger. Later in the week, we have some opportunities to gather and learn. We will have a meal on Wednesday night, followed by a workshop for parents of younger children around issues of technology and parenting. So please let us know by registering if you can come to that. Then on Sunday, there will be a second workshop geared a little bit more toward preteens and teenage parents, and that will be at 5:30 on next Sunday. We have a habitat build coming up this Friday and Saturday, as well as Saturday, October 21st. And Stacy, let me know that we are really in need of volunteers. So now it's on your radar. And if you have some time Friday or Saturday of this week, please sign up. You can sign up to bring food or sign up to build. Lots of needs for volunteers. And there's more information in the bulletin about how to sign up. And finally, as we prepare for celebrating the church's 150th birthday on October 15th at 1:10 o'clock service that day, we want to collect some of the things that you are thankful for being part of this congregation at West End. And so in Reed Hall, there is a board and post-it notes for you to take a few minutes and write down one or two things that you're thankful to God for about West End and put those on the board. And then we're going to work those into our liturgy for the day. So we would appreciate your input there. This morning, we enter into the letters of Paul. We will hear from his letter to the Romans and hear his invitation to walk with Christ each and every day. So let us open our hearts and minds to this ancient voice of the past and open our lives to the worship of our God.
Thank you. found in your bulletin. God of all people, today we offer ourselves as living sacrifices for the sake of your kingdom.
For you call us to worship as his body and
we give thanks that you call us to live not for ourselves, but for the benefit of those around us.
Change our hearts today.
Let your spirit flow through us as we lift up prayers and songs and are filled with your word. God of all people, today we offer ourselves as living sacrifices for the sake of your kingdom, trusting that God's love for us is unconditional and God's mercy is everlasting. Let us make our confession with the confidence of children of God. Merciful God, we confess that we have not loved you with our whole heart. We have failed to be an obedient church. We have not done your will. We have broken your law. We have rebelled against your love. We have not loved our neighbors, and we have not heard the cry of the needy. Forgive us, we pray. Free us for joyful obedience through Jesus Christ our Lord. And now, O God, we offer you our individual confessions in silence. Hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners, and that proves God's love toward us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven. Glory to God. Amen. And now, as a forgiven and reconciled people, let us exchange signs of reconciliation and love. The peace of Christ be with you.
Please join me in the prayer for illumination found in your bulletin. Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as the scriptures are read and the word proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. Lesson from the New Testament, Romans 12, 1 through 18. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds, so that you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think of yourself more highly than you ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measures of faith that God has assigned. For as in one body we have many members, and not all the members have the same function. So we, who are many, are one body in Christ, and individually we are members of one another. We have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us: prophecy in proportion to faith, ministry in ministering, the teacher in teaching, the exhorter in exhortation, the giver in generosity, the leader in diligence, the compassionate in cheerfulness. Let love be genuine. Hate what is evil, hold fast to what is good, love one another with mutual affection, outdo one another in showing honor. Do not lag in zeal, be ardent in spirit, serve the Lord, rejoice in hope, be patient in suffering, preserve in prayer, contribute to the needs of the saints, extend hospitality to strangers. Bless those who persecute you, bless those who do not and Bless and do not curse them. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty? Sorry. But associate with the lowly. Do not claim to be wiser than you are. Do not repay anyone evil for evil, but take thought for what is noble in the sight of all. If it is possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. The word of God for the people of God.
I'd love to invite all the children who are here in the sanctuary to come and join me up here for a moment. And if you're worshiping online, just get a little closer to your screens. And children, today you're going to have to go all the way around to this opening over here since it's Communion Sunday and we have the rails down. Let's see if I can do this here. Oh, okay. There we go. Good morning, good morning. So glad to see all of you. As you're coming up, I hope you'll take a look at the altar, the communion table this morning. Pastor Maggie did that and used cloths and breads from all over the world because today is World Communion Sunday. And we remember about all the people across the world in different countries and different lands who are gathering at Christ's table today with us. I actually have a map of the world this morning with me. All the countries' names are in Spanish, as it turns out. But, you know, people used to think, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years ago, people thought that the world was flat. Do you think the world is flat?
No, it's round.
No, it's not flat, is it? We know it's round, but they didn't know that. Back then, they didn't have trains or cars or planes or big ships where they could go far from home. So they just walked out their door and looked around, and it looked like the world was flat. But then, eventually, people built big ships, and they figured out ways to travel further, and they set out on the ocean, and lo and behold, they arrived where they started, and they figured out the world is round. And so it took them some time to learn that. When they discovered that, they had to change their minds. What they thought was true was actually not true. The world was round. And that reminds me that we're always learning new things. We may have some ideas about God, for example, and then we learn some new things, or we hear some stories of people who've experienced God, and we have to open our minds and maybe change our minds about things. And I just want you to know, as you grow up in this church, as you go to Sunday school and youth group, that you can ask any question in the world, because we are all learning as we go. And there may be times that I or Pastor Will or any of the grown-ups or Sunday school teachers might say, that's a really good question. I'm not sure I know the answer. Let's pray and think about it together. So with God, there's always more to learn. Let's pray. Gracious God, we thank you so much that you're always teaching us, always showing us new things. Help us to be open. Help us to wonder. Help us never to be afraid to ask questions. And remind us always of what we do know, that you love us and you always will. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, thanks for listening. 3-, 4-, and 5-year-olds can go to Children's Church with Pastor Maggie. And if you're older than that, oops, somebody left a stuffed dog. There we go. He might want to go to Children's Church. It was not easy this week thinking about how to do a children's message based on Paul's letter to the Romans. This letter to the Romans, many scholars say, is Paul's masterpiece. It is a multi-layered, rhetorically complex, structured argument that Paul builds over the course of several chapters. One of the commentaries I was reading by N.T. Wright, he said, "If anyone claims to understand the letter of Romans fully, They are mistaken. Nobody understands it all. It does seem that through these first 11 chapters of the letter to the Romans, Paul is building this argument about grace. He wants the church in Rome to know that whether they are Gentiles or Jews by origin, they are all invited into relationship with God because of God's grace, because of God's love, because of God's reaching out to them. That we're acceptable to God not because we are worthy or because we have done this and that or we obey these particular rules or we avoid those behaviors. We receive grace from God because that is the nature of God. And so he is trying to invite them into this understanding of God in which we are all at the foot of the cross. We are all in need of God's grace. And in the kingdom of God, there is no hierarchy. There are none who are more worthy than others. All of the labels we carry in the world, Jew, Greek, slave, free, male, female, are washed away in the waters of baptism into Christ. And so he builds this whole case for grace up through the 11th chapter. And then at the beginning of chapter 12, the tone shifts and he says, therefore, and he begins to talk about, okay, now how do we act? If this is true about God and true about us, how does that shape our life in the world? And he talks about, he has this section that Harper read about, we are all one in the body of Christ, and we have different gifts and different responsibilities and different manifestations of the Spirit, but we are all one in the body. Now, next week, Shannon is going to be preaching on that image of the body in Corinthians, so I'm going to leave that piece to him. But what Paul is inviting this church in Rome and all Christians to consider is, how does this oneness in the body of Christ shape how we treat one another, how we understand one another, how we understand the stranger, how we understand the different, how we understand ourselves? And for me, the key to it in what Paul is saying is in just the first few verses of chapter 12, verse 1, verse 2, and the first half of verse 3. He says, I appeal to you, therefore, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice to God, perfect and acceptable to God. And not to be conformed to that, you can tell I'm trying to memorize this, I want to get it right, not to be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds. So we have this image of the constant, living, daily sacrifice that comes with our relationship with God and the constant process of being renewed in the grace of God. Yes, Paul talks in Romans about salvation by faith through Jesus Christ, but in Paul's mind and in the mind of John Wesley, the founder of the Methodist movement, salvation is not just, I believe in Jesus and now I got my ticket to heaven. No, salvation is a lifelong journey that helps us grow into the likeness of Christ throughout our lives. And so we hear in these first few verses of chapter 12 this invitation, every day to surrender ourselves once again to God, to offer ourselves, our whole bodies, our whole lives, everything about our lives to the grace of God, surrendering all of that to the grace and leadership of God. And invites the question for me, what do I need to surrender today? Using some of Paul's language from another place, what do I need to die to today? How do I need to let go of my ego or my need to be right or my fear or my need to please everybody? What are those things that you need to sacrifice and lay out before God each and every day? And then Paul talks about being renewed, not to be conformed to this world, but being renewed in our minds. And as I think about the community that the Spirit of Christ is building, this kinship of God, this community that gathers at the table of Christ, I think about how easy it is for the ways of the world to break in. The world would want to rank us, would want to introduce hierarchies into our midst, to say, well, these people are more worthy because fill in the blank, or these people are less worthy because fill in the blank. The world would want us to think that we can earn our place, we can work our way up the rank of the church by behaving right, by having right opinions. And yet here Paul is saying, we are all one. Do not be conformed to those ways, but be renewed by the transforming of your mind. And I wonder if one of the things that we need to sacrifice every day, one of the things we need to let go of, is our certainty. I was in a meeting this week with a group of West Nashville clergy. We're not quite sure what our name is. We've been around for years, and we're either the West Nashville Clergy Alliance or Clergy Coalition or Clergy Group. We don't really know, but we get together once a month, many different denominations, and we share life together. Sometimes we talk about particular questions or issues. Sometimes we just support one another in the life of ministry. But one of our colleagues, Davy Tucker, was there this week, and he said he's becoming more and more convinced that in our midst today there is a deep sin of certainty, like this unwillingness to invite new information, the unwillingness to change our minds about anything. We get so convinced that we have right opinions about whatever it is that we refuse to budge, we refuse to listen to other perspectives, to other experiences of life. We see this in our political leaders. It seems right now the worst insult you can say about a politician is that, well, he changed his mind, or she flip-flopped on that issue. Wow. Maybe this person learned some things, got more information, or talked to some people and heard some different experiences and maybe came to a different conclusion. Maybe some of these leaders could learn from Dolly Parton, who said, when you know better, you do better. What is it in us and in our world right now that's causing us to dig in our heels and insist that we're right and not be willing to come to the table in humility with an open mind, ready for our minds to be transformed? So we gather at the World Communion Table today. And the beauty of this table is that there is no hierarchy. There's no rank. The beauty of this table is that everybody has a place, that everybody belongs at the table. And our host is Jesus the Christ, who has made us right with God through a gift of grace. And all we need to come to this table is to recognize we need to be here. To recognize that we need the grace that is offered in this bread and in this cup. And so does everybody else. There are a lot of things I don't know. A lot of things I'm uncertain about. But as I come to the table, there are a few things I do know. And I learned them when I was about this age. Jesus loves me. This I know. We are one in the Spirit. We are one in God's love. He's got the whole world in His hands. These things I know. Most of the rest of it, I've still got a lot to learn. Thanks be to God.
Stand as we affirm the assurance of our deepest hope. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? No, in all things we are more than conquerors through the one who loved us. We are sure that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Thanks be to God. Amen. I invite you to sit and to rest in that good news. As we come to our prayer time this day, I invite you to share with our pastoral team how we might be in prayer with you now and in days to come. If you are worshiping with us online, you'll see the link on our webpage where you might contact us and share your prayer concern. And if you are here in the sanctuary, you will see the great piece of paper in the pew in front of you, wherein you can leave your prayer request and drop it in the offering basket at the appropriate time, that we might share in carrying each other's burdens and rejoicing in the deep joys of our life together. Friends, would you pray with me? Eternal God, through your word, you have gifted us with splendid visions of all the world, gathering in joyous communion. We rejoice in the hope of the nations coming together in peace on your holy hill, and the day when all tears are wiped away at your heavenly banquet. Until then, we remain steadfast in praying for your transformative presence and power in our wounded and weary times. For those in the world whose daily lives are determined by the details of violence, poverty, and desperation, we pray your church would offer blessed rest, restorative justice, and compassionate mercy. For the war in Ukraine and all conflicts between nations, we pray your church would witness to and advocate in all places of power for the peaceable kingdom and the day when all weapons are transformed into the tools of beloved community. For the refugees who flee from nation to nation, finding no room within the borders of countries, we pray your church would offer hospitality, friendship, and a true home within the blessed binds of our life in your spirit. For the groaning and pains of earth, struggling to cultivate life amidst the relentless consumption of our collective greed, we pray your church would summon all people toward mutual sacrifice for the sake of our common flourishing, that we might discover a renewed sense of call in our vocation as creation stewards. All these prayers we ask, O God, knowing that it is only with the provision of your love and your life that we can truly bear witness to the hope of a world communion. So in your grace, nourish us with your sustenance, that we might truly grow into Christ's body, the church, with and for the whole of the world. Amen. Friends, it is out of the overflow of the grace that is given to us in Christ Jesus that we now offer our gifts to God. I invite you to offer your gifts in the collection plates that will be passed in your aisle. And if you're worshiping with us online, you'll see the link now. Let us give out of the abundance of the God who is always giving more than we could ever possibly ask or imagine.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is right and a good and a joyful thing, always and everywhere, to give thanks to you, gracious God, creator of heaven and earth. You have made from one every nation and people to live on the face of the earth. We are, each one and all, made in your image. And so, with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn.
Holy are you, and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. He came into this world as a poor and vulnerable child. He and his parents were refugees fleeing the violence and oppression of Herod and seeking safety in a new land. He opened his arms to children, whom he welcomed and blessed. And he spent his ministry healing the sick, feeding the hungry, and breaking bread with the multitudes. He commissioned us to be his witnesses to the ends of the earth. And today, his family and all the world is joining at his holy table. On the night in which he gave himself up for us, he took bread. He gave thanks to you, and he broke the bread. Gave it to his disciples and said, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." When the supper was over, he took the cup and gave thanks to you, gave it to his disciples and said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood, the new covenant poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of your sins. Do this as often as you drink of it in remembrance of me." And so in remembrance of these, your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for us as we proclaim the mystery of faith. Pour out your Holy Spirit on all of us gathered here this day and on these gifts of bread and cup. Make them be for us the body and blood of Jesus Christ, that we might be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood. Renew our communion with your church throughout the world and strengthen it in every nation and among every people to open our arms to the children, our doors to the outcast, and our hearts to witness faithfully to your name.
Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world, until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at the heavenly banquet. On this World Communion Sunday, we invite you to say this prayer of our Lord in your native language. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
In our Methodist tradition, this table is the table of Jesus Christ's grace. This table is open to all people. You need not be a member of this church or a baptized member of Christ's church. If God is working in your heart this day to move you to response and to come to this table, you are welcome. I invite you, as you do come forward, to come to the rail with open hands. We'll begin with the choir, and then we'll go with the balcony, the transepts, and the nave. If you are unable to come forward, I will be making my way through the sanctuary, and if you'll make clear to me your need to receive the elements. I want to make clear that all of our elements are gluten-free. It's also been the practice of West End that the altar rail would be, the communion rail would be a place of giving beyond what we gave in our offering, and that our giving would be good news to our missional partners. And so I want to share with you that this month our communion offering will go to our prison ministry. This money funds holiday meals, gift packages, and other needs within Riverbend, as well as the asks of returning citizens. As we lift up this bread, and as we lift up this cup, we remember our siblings in Christ across all of the world who gather virtually and in person, breaking bread of every shape, color, texture, and taste. We remember those of the faith who cannot receive these gifts openly. We remember as we receive on their behalf through the power and unity of the Holy Spirit. Brothers and sisters, the table is set. Come taste and see that indeed the Lord is good. invite you to stand and to join me in our prayer after receiving communion. You have given yourself to us, Lord. Now we give ourselves for others. Your love has made us a new people. As a people of love, we will serve you with joy. Your glory has filled our hearts. Help us to glorify you in all things. Amen.
Through the grace and spirit of God, the world is about to turn. Let us keep our hearts and minds, eyes and ears open for God's justice, love, and peace to surprise us. Go in Christ's name. Amen.